I love Sundays. You get to learn all kinds of things, don't you? Learn about Bub and square dancing. Thank you, Bub. For radio audience, that was Bub Hill sharing why she loves Sundays. And then I learned something else, that you could say good and rap music in the same sentence. I didn't know that two could go together. So, and then we get up there to sing, and Brandon says, "I only see two men up here." So I was looking around to see who the other one was, because I knew one was me. And so just in case y'all know, and he couldn't see himself, so he couldn't have been talking about himself. But that was fun. Thank you, men, for that. And Bill, I agree. I'm glad we had a lot of people to cover us up. Bill and I have spent a lot of miles together in the same vehicle, and some old song come on, we go to singing, and it is not pretty. So, and Colby, I saw you grin. I know how you sing too, buddy. So I just want you to know that. Today we're going to talk about Sundays and loving Sundays, because Sundays make better Mondays. And I hope you will pay attention, and I hope you will let God speak to you, because if we do Sundays right, our Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays will be much better. Using a passage of Scripture today, it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, and it's Joshua 1:1-9. And this is where Joshua gets his marching orders. And you're probably saying, how can these two go together, Joshua getting his marching orders and then me talking about how Sundays make better Mondays? But I hope you will pay attention, and I hope we'll all come together, and when you leave here today, that you will be able to make your Mondays better because you've been here on Sunday. But if you want to read along with me, you can look on the screen, or you can open your Bible, or you can get on your electronic device or whatever and read along as we read Joshua 1:1-9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon, and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." For Sundays to make better Mondays, you must first know God, not just know about God. Joshua knew God. You notice the conversation taking place. Joshua spoke to God, and God spoke to Joshua. And there was a conversation taking place. To have a conversation, you must know somebody, or you must be facing somebody, or you must be with somebody. I guess I could have a conversation with this piece of wood here, but that would be a one-way conversation. And sometimes it might be a pretty good conversation for some of us, but it wouldn't be very personal. Joshua had a conversation with God that was personal. They knew about each other. Joshua knew what God was talking about. So, talking about knowing God, not knowing about God, these are questions that I now have for you. The question today is, do you know God? If I were to ask you today if you know God, some of you would begin to tell me things about what God has done. the world out there can tell us about God. Whether somebody claims to be a believer in Christ or whether they claim to be an atheist, they can tell you about God, about the concept that Christians have about God. They would tell you that God made the world, that God is all-powerful, that God is all-knowing, that God is everywhere. But do you know God? Do you know His voice? People have claimed for years that God speaks to them and they'll do something that is contrary to what His Word says. So that cannot be God's voice. The question that I want us to think about today, do we know God's voice? Do we know that God is speaking to us? And if I could explain to you what I mean by how do you know God's voice and how do you hear it, I guess I could write a book and we'd all be rich and we'd fix the steeple and the walls and everything else. But it is that still small voice that speaks to us. It is that voice that when I am sitting on an airplane and this woman who makes me uncomfortable is sitting beside me and she begins to ask me about the bracelet on my arm, it is that voice inside me that says, I want you to tell her about Jesus. And if we don't know God, we don't know His voice. Cell phones are wonderful. Julie talked about cell phones and iPads and things that have to be charged. I've got a cell phone that likes to die in a hurry, and it frustrates me because I can't talk on it. But I like to use my cell phone to call my family, but I know their voice. When I call Julie or Olivia around 10 o'clock every night when they're at school, when they answer the phone, I don't have to say, Julie or Olivia, this is your dad. That would sound kind of funny, wouldn't it? Because they know my voice. If we know God, we know His voice. And do we have conversations with God? Conversations with God's two-way street, that's prayer. We speak to God and God speaks back to us. If we don't know God, we can't have that. And then finally, do we know what God is talking about? If I am not a believer in Jesus Christ, then His conversations and me telling someone about the good news of Jesus Christ is kind of foreign to me. When I say, do you know God, my favorite verse is this: for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that is a verse that most of us who've been raised in church, Bub talked about coming to church all of her life, basically, and we're taught that this from the get-go, that we must have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so I say to you today this, that if you want your Mondays to be better, at least on this Sunday, make sure that you know God. And you can know God through Jesus Christ, His Son, who came to pay the price for our sins. Isn't it neat to think that God loved us so much that He would send His Son so that we may have a relationship with Him? If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and that's kind of foreign to you, and you really don't understand exactly what I'm talking about, I would ask you now to ask God to reveal Himself to you, and then at the close of the service, you come down and we'll talk more, and I can tell you more what it's like to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the second thing I think that we can see from this passage about Joshua is this: for Sundays to make better Mondays, we must realize our purpose. We are not here by accident. I was talking with someone not long ago, and their parents were really old. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm doing the math here, and you look like you're not quite old enough to have parents as old as your parents look. And we had the conversation, and this person says, I was one of those accidents. They didn't mean to have me. And I thought, oh, that sounds terrible. But what I want you to hear today, that none of us are accidents. None of us are here by a haphazard chance. None of us are here for no reason. God put each one of us here for a purpose. And God put Joshua here for a purpose. God put Joshua there for a specific task. Joshua is told that he is to lead. He was put there not to lead a few, but he was put there to lead the whole nation of Israel. Just like with Esther, Joshua was put there at a specific time and a specific place for a purpose. And so saying that, I ask you today, what is your purpose? You are not here by accident. Do you realize that you are not here in this place? You are not here in this time by accident. God has a purpose for you. You are not even here in this place of worship today by accident. God put you here because, just as always, God has a message for you. God's message for you today may be this, that you need to come to know Him better, that you need to be about doing the task that He has for you, that you need to be fulfilling His purpose for you. And then I would ask you this question, as you came to this place today, are you seeking God's plan? Are you seeking God's purpose for your life? And then I would say to you on top of that, be careful what you ask for. Because when we say, God, will you use me? God, will you give me a task? God, will you show me your purpose? He's going to put you to work. And He's going to let you know what that plan and purpose is for you. And then you'll have a chance to be about God's business. What is your purpose? And then I think to my wife's favorite verse is this, that says, for I know, declares the Lord, the plans and purpose I have for you, not to harm you, but to bring you good, to give you hope for your future. And I probably took about 10 different translations and versions of that and turned it all around. But I'd heard that verse all my life, but until God gave me my wife, that sounds kind of funny, God gave me my wife. He didn't give me to her. I got the gift, not her. But she reminds me so much that God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. And sometimes our purpose may not be great in the big scheme of things that we have on earth. But my friends, what I want you to hear today is just what Joshua heard from God, that He has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. Bub, you said you worked in the five-year-olds. And I've heard some good stories about some of those kids. But that was God's plan and His purpose for you. Your purpose may be to work with RAs on Wednesday night, or to work with GAs on Wednesday night, or to cook meals, or to clean up, or to distribute bottles of water like we planned to do yesterday, but we got plenty of water otherwise, didn't we? And by the way, if you brought a case of water, we still got them. If you want to take it back home, come and get it. If not, we'll use it for something. But we weren't able to give them out at the Fall Festival yesterday. But know that God has a plan and a purpose for each one of you. None of us are here by accident. None of us have tasks that aren't important to God. One of my favorite people growing up was a humble man that was the custodian at Mount Rahama Baptist Church. And I'm not sure I ever heard the man say 10 words except, boys, 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 slow down. Boys, 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 slow down. That was his word. Boys, 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 slow down. Because we were always running somewhere. But he faithfully kept that church clean. And that's just as important as the preacher or the person directing the music or the person teaching Sunday school. And sometimes people would maybe look down upon Eddie Irvin, that dear man that was kind of stooped older, but his place was serving God that way. Guys, everybody has a purpose, and know that God wants to use you. then I would say to you today, for Sundays to make better Mondays, we must study God's Word. God told Joshua, about to call him Joshua, God told Joshua to meditate upon His Word, to hide it inside him so that he would know what he is supposed to do. And how do we do that? What is it about God's Word that makes life better? Joshua is told to remain true to God's teachings. And my friends, God gave us this book right here as our owner's manual, as our guidebook, and when we follow it, life is better. How many of you ever look at owner's manuals? I had a truck that I couldn't figure out why it wouldn't go into four-wheel drive. And I got the owner's manual out, and I went through everything. And the owner's manual had the fuse box in there and the layout of fuses. If you don't have that layout of fuses, you're in trouble. You ever look at the fuse panel on one of your vehicles? There's a lot of fuses. And you better have the thing that tells you which one goes where. And that's the way the Bible is. And God told Joshua, if you will take this word that I have given you, this guide for your life, and you will apply it to your life will run much more smoothly. God also told Joshua that if he lived by the things that God gave him to do, that he would prosper, that he would do well. And guys, those words hold true to us today. If we do the things that God wants us to do, if we flee from sin, if we treat people with kindness, if we follow those things that God tells us to do, we will prosper and life will be good. God also stressed to Joshua that success came from faithfulness. And my friends, when we're faithful to God's word, we will be successful. And then he says, be strong and courageous. And that's the part that I like. And that's the part that I read sometimes, be strong and courageous, because it's hard to try to witness to people. It's hard to share God's word. But what God tells Joshua and what God tells us is that if we will remain true to God, he remains true to us, that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he is there, he's got our back. And that was our lesson in Sunday school this morning, that God is there for me and we don't have to worry. I've told y'all time and time again that when I was younger, I always had little man syndrome, I reckon. I was always running my mouth, trying to get in somebody's face, trying to start trouble somewhere along the way. But I had some of the biggest friends in the world. And as I look back now, I know that I didn't get in trouble a lot of times because I had these really big dudes standing behind me. And it was all right for little man to be running his mouth because no one was going to say anything back because they had the big dudes behind me. And that's kind of way I live with God now, that I can tell somebody about Christ, that I can tell somebody that they need to know Jesus Christ because I've got God behind me taking care of me. And guys, we can hold on to that and we can take that to the bank. Do you really want a better week? Let me challenge you to make your week better by doing these things. Try reading and studying God's Word. It is absolutely amazing to me that how when I read God's Word, He speaks to me something different every time. It is absolutely amazing to me when I'm having a bad day, I can turn to God's Word and He gives me something that uplifts me. It's absolutely amazing when grief comes my way, when I'm sad, of how I can read God's Word and it picks me up. Then I want you to realize that success and happiness comes from following God's plan. If you're here today and you're not doing a good job of following God's plan for your life, would you just surrender to Him today? Would you just say, God, I don't know how this is going to work, but God, I want to trust You and know that if I turn it over to You, that life is going to be good. And then I would say to you that you don't have to know any fear, because God is always there. He'll fight your battles for you. He'll take them away if you'll just give it to Him. And then I saw this graphic that says, broken things become blessed things if you let God do the mending. If we give things to God, He will take them and He will fix them. If we have relationship issues, maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's with kids, maybe it's with friends. But if we will begin to turn those things over to God, He can make a great difference in our lives. Somebody asked me the other day to pray for a relationship issue, and I said, I will pray as hard as I can pray. But I said, I want you to pray as hard as you can pray too, because when you're the one dealing with the issue and you begin to pray about it, God begins to give you things that you can do to make it right. And sometimes we pray for people in relationship issues because we think they need a change. But we begin to pray for them, we realize that we need to change as well. So if you want Mondays to be better, give all those bad things in your life to God today, and life will be better. And then worry. You don't have to worry on Monday if we give it to God on Sunday. And how many of us spend so much time worrying over things? I remember when I was younger, I was the worryingest person that's ever been. And you come to me and you tell me today that you're having problems and issues with worrying, and it is an issue, it is a problem, I can tell you that if you keep praying, you keep praying, you keep praying, and you give it to God, you can overcome those issues of worrying. I'm almost too laid back in some ways now, because I just say, God, You take it and go with it. But I can tell you how much I worried that when I was in college and I was in seminary, I was a nervous wreck. There was no antiperspirant made that would keep me from sweating. I would be sitting in class and I would have a sweat ring from here to here. I mean, it just poured because I was a nervous wreck. And everybody would give me deodorant. And not deodorant, I didn't stink, I took a shower. Antiperspirant, and said this will work. But all it was that I was a nervous wreck. And you know, I would worry about grades and all those kinds of things. And you know, I really couldn't study good on grades because I was worried so much about it. Because you really can't study the way you need to study when you're just a nervous wreck and worrying. And my prayer through seminary was, God, You've got to take this away from me. God, You got to help me get to the point where I can just give it to You. And somewhere along the way, I learned to give it to Him. And I really don't worry. I still sweat sometimes. I get nervous when I get up here. But it's not because of worry. If you want better Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays, give God your worries on Sunday. And then your anxieties. For a better Monday, give it to Him on Sunday. And we all have anxieties. We all have issues. You want to have anxiety, you start putting two kids through college. You put two kids through college, and then you have the clutch go out on your truck. You put two kids through college, you put a clutch in your truck, and then something tears up at home. You put two kids through college, your clutch goes out in your truck, something tears up at home, then you have health problems. And I see some of you shaking your head because you know what it's all about. We've all been there. But my friends, as humbly as I know how, I say to you, give it to God. And if you'll give it to God today and let Him care for you, then you'll have better Mondays. And finally, the bottom line, I love Sundays because I'm reminded of God's love for me. I'm reminded that God has all the power. I'm reminded that God cares for me. I'm reminded that God has a purpose and plan for me. I'm reminded that God requests me to study His Word, and if I'll do it, my Mondays will be better. Most of all, I'm reminded on Sundays that God loved me, yes, me, enough to send His Son. And God loved you, yes, you, by yourself enough that He would send His Son. And then I'm reminded of how good my week can be because of God. As I thought about this week, Leah, I thought about your wedding and the vows that y'all made. Good vows and all that kind of stuff. But when we got to the thing, they decided to say, instead of I do, what'd you say? I promise. Because Aaron always says, do you promise? Do you promise? Or I promise. That was their thing. And I thought about how when I'll be telling Ann something, Ann will say, do you promise? Do you promise? Because promise is a strong word, isn't it? And I come to you this morning and I stand before you and say this, that I promise you that if you will get things right with God today, your tomorrow will be a better day. Sounds simple, doesn't it? But that's what the Bible teaches us. And here was a man, Joshua, who had been given a leadership role, and I suspect he was scared to death. But God said this, that if you will follow me, if you will let me lead you and guide you, you will be successful. And that's what God says to us today. Do you want a better Monday? Then make sure you're right with God on Sunday. And then next week when you come, I'll say, do you want a better Monday? And you'll say yes, and I'll say, make sure you're right on Sunday. How would we live without Sundays when we come and get it all back together again? Because as much as we try, by the end of the week, we're probably messed up and got away from God. So give it back to Him today, and you can have a great Monday. Let's pray. God, thank you for Sundays, because it is on Sundays that we are reminded of your love for us. It is on Sundays that we get a chance to hear your word. It is on Sundays that we come and make things right. And God, it is my prayer for all these folks here and all the ones listening by means of radio that they would make it right today, so that their Mondays would be better. Whatever decision we need to make today, let us make it as you would have us to do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our invitation hymn is...